Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
We are in the middle of a series called Strapped. So we're week two of this four-week series. And what we're doing is we're looking at how we can manage our money with wisdom and how we can manage our money with really some biblical standards. So if you missed last week, I would challenge you to go to our website. We're actually going to release this probably today, but you can find that on our podcast. We're going to kind of put them two together, but they kind of jump on, they kind of build on each other. But you can always check our podcast out at www.mylifechangedchurch.com. And if you remember from last week, I'll give you a quick recap. We looked at this verse in Proverbs. And again, Proverbs, it was written by a guy named Solomon, who is really one of the wisest men to walk the earth. And he's sharing all this wisdom. So the book of Proverbs is really just a book that's just spitting out wisdom left and right. And we're really going to look at this verse as kind of the memory verse for this series, but it's Proverbs 22:7. So if you have your Bible, you can go there, mark that up, highlight it. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. And then we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. You can put that on your phone. You can put that on your tablet. That way you have it wherever you go. But again, this verse is really what we're going to look through and kind of going to be a standard to what we're kind of building on as well. And it says this here in Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and borrowers are servants to the lenders." The rich rule over the poor, and borrowers are servants to the lender. And last week, we really did jump in, and we talked about this word servant, which also is translated as slave. It's translated as one who is in bondage, meaning that if we're in debt, we are actually in bondage. If we're in debt, we're actually strapped. Now, I talked about last week how we don't really go around saying, you know what, I'm a slave to the lender, right? I'm a slave to my credit card. I'm a slave to my car payment. I'm in bondage to my house payment. We don't go around saying that, but instead we go around saying things like, you know what, I'd love to do such and such. I'd love to do this one thing, but I just can't because I don't have the money right now. It just doesn't fit into the budget, right? We love to get married, but right now we can't swing a wedding, right? We love to have another kid, but we just can't swing it into our budget. But what we're really saying is this. We're saying that we're strapped. We're saying that we're in bondage. And then last week, we also learned that we cannot serve two masters. In fact, Jesus even said this. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. And he said money. He could have said anything else, but he said money because he knew for many of us, money would be the number one competitor of our hearts. And for this very reason, this principle is what we learned last week. We learned that we are not called to serve money, but we are called to serve God. We are not called to serve money. We're called to serve God. We're not called to be in bondage. We're not called to be in debt, but we're called to serve God. And with that stated, I want to jump to the next principle of what I want you to walk away with today that kind of really builds upon this, really adds upon this same one. So this is what I want you to get. If you get nothing else, get this. Get this challenge today. But act your wage. Right? Act your wage. Now, if you're a Dave Ramsey listener, you've probably heard this. This is not like, I can't be credited to this nice little saying here. I stole it from Dave Ramsey, which a lot of stuff in this today is going to be very common sense items where I'm using some of these things and then being able to apply it to our lives. But really, we're called to act our wage. And if you hear that, you're thinking like, what does that mean, right? Like for many of us, it can be a little bit even weird thinking like, what does act your wage mean? So I'm going to go to this old rule that used to be a financial rule for many people that lived around. Some of you had grandparents that probably lived by this rule. Some of you maybe had even parents that lived by this rule. And it was a crazy rule, but it was a financial rule that many people lived by. So here it is. Here's the rule. If you don't have the money to buy something, you don't buy it. Mind blown, right? Like you look at that, like that's a crazy rule. Some of you are thinking like, yeah, that makes sense. Some of you are thinking, like, what do you mean? Like, I don't get it. I can't just swipe a credit card and buy whatever I want, right? I just can't apply for a loan. I'm not supposed to go through and do that. You mean people lived by this rule? Like, that's weird. How did they do that? But if you look at history, like in America before the Great Depression, only 2% of the homes had a mortgage on it. Before the Great Depression, only 2% of the homes had a mortgage on it. Why? Because people were acting their wage. They lived by this rule. If you didn't have money, you didn't buy it. Like, you actually had to have straight cash money to buy something, right? It wasn't a credit card. It wasn't applying for a loan. Many of you guys had grandparents who lived this way. And do you realize something? When you see how they live, you can see that, man, they were really, really good at saving money. They knew how to save. They knew how to live with what the income they had coming in. But it changed kind of quickly. Because by the 1960s, just four decades later, 98% of the homes had mortgages on them. It's a little bit of a big jump, right? And we know that didn't just end at mortgages. That continued on to every area of our lives, continued on to cars, continued on to everything where you can get a credit card, you can go buy anything that you want and put it on a credit card and go into debt because of it. And it created this vicious cycle of living above our means. But this is what we need to grasp. We need to grasp this concept of acting our wage. Last week, I shared a little bit about Sarah and I's story. And I talked about how when we were first married, we had like $80,000 worth of debt together between the two of us. And that's not including the house we lived in. Like, that's just like credit cards. That's car payments. That's college loans. That was like random stuff. Like, just debt loans that we got out. Even money that we borrowed from friends. We had just $80,000 of debt. And if you look at it, what was the reason? The reason was because we weren't acting our wage. Now, again, we got married at 26 years old. When we were married at 26 years old, what we're trying to do is we're trying to live like our 50-plus-year-old parents. In fact, we were even trying to live better. Like, we actually had nicer cars at that time than my parents. We actually went on better trips. Like, for our honeymoon, we went to this all-inclusive resort at the Dominican Republic. Like, I don't think my parents had ever been to an all-inclusive resort. I don't even know if they knew what that actually meant. I know for their honeymoon, I think they went to, like, the Motel 6 in Waverly. Like, they were, like, going all out, right? So we were living way above our wage. And we were going out to eat all the time. We were doing all these different things. But if you look at it, we were trying to live in a way that took our parents 30-plus years to live that way. And if you're a parent there and you're thinking this, you know, man, this is great. My kids are able to do this. Like, I want the best for my kids. Sometimes I think it's great for me, to us to remember kind of what it was like when we were young, right? What it was like to kind of scrap some pennies together and try to put things together rather than going and putting everything on a credit card. And this got us into some trouble. We were $80,000 worth of debt. And the fact was, we were not acting our wage. And this was a dangerous situation. It was a scary place to operate out of. This is our first year of marriage, and we're going through this together. Add on all the other tensions. I don't even know how we made it, but we did, right? And this is what I knew, though. Because we weren't acting our wage, it led to a bunch of different things. It led to us comparing ourselves to others. It led to us finding our worth in other things besides God. It led us really to finding our values based on what others were doing, based on what others were looking like, what others were driving, what others were dressing in, right? Rather than listening to what God really said about us. And it really led us to having this feeling of entitlement. I think you see this generation to generation. Every generation sees the next generation and says, oh, they're just a generation of entitled people. But really, it's because we're not acting our wage. We need to act our wage. Instead of pretending something, being something that we're not, we need to act our wage. Instead of being a slave to the lender, instead of being strapped, instead of being in bondage, we need to act our wage. Proverbs 13:7 says it this way. It says, some people pretend to be rich, but really have nothing. Others pretend to be poor, but really are wealthy. If you look at that verse, I think it kind of boils it down. There's three groups of people. There's those that can count, and there's those that can't. You'll get that later. That's one of my favorite jokes. But anyways, there's really three types of people, right? There's those that have not, and then there's those that have, but have not paid for what they have. And those are the pretenders. Those are the ones that are in debt. Those are the ones that are in bondage. Those are the ones that are strapped. Those are the ones that aren't acting your wage. So my challenge is to act your wage. And if you think about it, what would happen if we acted our wage? We wouldn't be normal, that's for sure, right? Again, last week I talked about what normal was, and I talked about how the average person has a credit card, and that credit card balance is $14,517. The average credit card is $14,517. That's the balance. You put that together, and that pretty much makes an average minimum payment of $217 a month. That's the minimum payment. Guess how long it would take you if you paid that minimum payment to pay that off? 40 years. That's normal, right? That's not acting your wage. And it would cost over $100,000. By the life of that span of that loan, it would cost over $100,000 to pay that $14,000 off. That's crazy. But if we acted our wage, if we followed what God said and did some, like, actually applied wisdom to our finances, you could use that same $217, invest it monthly. And over that same period of time, over 40 years, if you were investing $217 in a long-term growth product, you could have over $1 million. But it all starts with acting your wage. It all starts with not trying to buy stuff that we don't need, right? With the money that we don't have to impress the people that we don't like. It all starts right there. And if we do that, it could change our family tree. So what we want to do today is we want to look at three essential values that we need to in our life to really act our way. So we're going to get really practical today, and we're going to look at these, really how we can apply these to our life. And these things are, they're things that really apply to our finances, but they really apply to every aspect of our life as well. And the first one is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing we need to do is we need to embrace self-control. We need to embrace self-control. We have to have self-control in every area of our lives. And finances are no exception. Here's what Scripture says, again, back in the book of Proverbs. It says this here in Proverbs 25, 28. It says, those who do not control themselves are like a city whose walls are broken down. And if you don't have financial control, you're like a city whose walls are broken down. If we don't have financial control, we are defenseless to the attacks that come against us. And I can guarantee that most of you have all experienced a financial attack against you, right? They're called potholes in the road. They're called all these things that happen each and every week. They're called cars breaking down. If we do not have self-control, we're defenseless against those. We're defenseless against what Satan wants to throw at us. And self-control, if we don't have that, we can end up in trouble. And the problem is, so many of us, we battle with self-control. Like, we have this voice in the inside, right? It's our inner kid coming out and saying, I want it now. Oh, I want it now. We throw a fit. We're kicking and screaming. But we're doing this all on the inside because we don't want to look crazy to anybody else. Some of you might do it outside too, and you might just look crazy. But we're doing all this. But the problem is, as we get older, those things we want all of a sudden become a little more expensive, right? Like, it's no longer just a candy bar. But it's like designer clothes. It's like a designer purse. It's like a car, right? Or a boat, or the new golf club. It's these newest, fanciest things that we want. And they get more expensive. And then we try to justify it and say, you know what? At least it was on sale, so I saved money, right? Tell my wife this all the time, but the only way you really save money is if you don't spend the money out the way. Like, that's how you save money. You don't spend money. But we've got to get a little self-control. And we've got to learn how to say no. So this is what I want to do. We need to learn how to say no. So I want to get a little bit practical here, and I want us to say no together. You guys are going to scream it, right? You're going to say no. When I say three, you guys are going to say no, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to say no like how you want your daughters to say no on prom night. Like, that's just a passionate no, right? So let's just go there. One, two, three.
No!
That's pretty good. All right. So now let's get a little more personal here. So ladies, let's go through this. If you are in debt, what do you say when the new 31 bags comes out, right? I heard some yeses. I heard some not fairs. Oh, man. I hit a chord there. But you say no. If you're in debt, you say no. All right, guys, what do you say? What do you say to golfing two times a week?
Yeah.
This is going bad. All right. No, you say no. If you're in debt, you say no. Now, some of you guys are mad. Some of you ladies are even mad. Like, it's about to get warm. I heard it's supposed to be 70 degrees today. I'm going golfing, right? But you say no. We have to practice self-control. If we're in debt, we have to say no to everything. That has to become one of our favorite words. Now, listen, if you're out of debt, buy all the 31 bags you want to, right? If you're out of debt, go golfing every single day. Go for it. But practice self-control. And think through it. Do you really need that $4 cup of coffee every day? Do you really need to go to lunch every single day? Does your kid really need a cell phone right now, right? Do, do they really need those things, right? Do you really need the brand new car? No. I'm not saying don't enjoy your life, but get out of debt first and then say no. Learn how to say no. Because what we're going to do is we're going to say no for a little while so that we can say yes later. Embrace the value of self-control. And what's crazy about self-control, this is actually a very spiritual thing. There's an incredible part of self-control to our spiritual lives. It's actually one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, it says this. It says, but the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In our lives, we need to embrace self-control. Second thing, if you're taking notes, is we need to embrace the value of sacrifice. Embrace the value of sacrifice. I think if you look through all throughout Scripture, you look all throughout the Bible, there's this common theme through it, and the theme is sacrifice. All throughout the Bible, there's sacrifice. In fact, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us, right? Because we couldn't live a perfect life. We've all messed up. So there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be something done for our sins. So Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice where he lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again to give us new life, to give us a second chance, to be that sacrifice for us. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way. It says, let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And now he's sitting at the right side of God's throne. Here's Jesus. He sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his life for the joy that he had because he knew that in sacrificing his life, it would save ours. He loved us so much. He loved us even more than how much he loved himself. And through his suffering, through his sacrifice, through his shame, we have new life. Jesus is the greatest example of sacrifice. And I think because of him, we can really see what sacrifice is. Because of him, we can understand that sacrifice is giving up something you love for something you love even more. Jesus gave up his life, which he loved, but he gave it up for us because he loved us even more. When you think about it this way, it kind of makes our finances look a little bit minuscule, right? If you think about it in the light of what Jesus did, but the truth is, we have to embrace sacrifice in every area of our lives because Jesus set the ultimate example for us, and we need to apply this to our finances as well. We need to embrace the value of sacrifices in our finances. For many of us, that may mean that we're giving up some certain things, right? We've sacrificed something we love, whether maybe it's cable TV, maybe it's some monthly payment that we have that we're doing something, but maybe we give that up for a period of time so that maybe Christmas time we can pay for Christmas without any credit. Maybe for us, that's giving up our lunch, our daily lunch that we go out, right? So that we can maybe pay off our car payment. But we have to make a sacrifice. We need to embrace the value of sacrifice. And the third step is this. Embrace the value of planning. Embrace the value of planning. Now, some of you, this will excite you, right? For me, I like to plan. I'm kind of a super nerd, so I like to put everything down on paper and like go check, 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 check. I'm a nerd. I like that. For some of you, you are probably right there with me. Like, this is exciting to plan. For you, that's a free spirit, though. This gives you like the heebie-jeebies. Like, this is messing you up. You're thinking like, dude, I do not want to plan for anything. Like, I like to make a decision probably 30 seconds before it's going to happen. It just feels better that way, right? It's working in that. That's how we flow. But Jesus said that we need to plan. He said this in Luke 14:28, and in this passage of Scripture, here's Jesus. He's talking to his followers, and he's really warning them. He's saying that there's a cost to follow me. There's a cost to what's going on here, so you actually need to put a plan together. He's saying it's not going to be easy, so you know what? When it gets hard, if you have a plan in place, you're going to be able to walk through it, and really, it's common sense stuff. Here's what he says here in Luke 14:28. It says, if you want to build a tower, you first sit down and decide how much it will cost, to see if you have enough money to finish the job. Sounds like pretty much common sense, right? But what he's saying, Embrace the value of planning. Embrace the value of planning in everything you do. Embrace the value of planning, especially in your finances. Again, in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 21:5, it says, "The plans of the hardworking people earn a profit, but those who act too quickly become poor." Another version says it this way. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead to a profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." We have to have a plan. Because here's the deal. You can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of debt. Like, it's real easy just to all of a sudden wake up one day and find yourself in debt because it's so easy to swipe that credit card. But you can't wander out of it. You actually have to have a plan. So I've showed this before, but we're going to show this again. But this is basically a financial plan that we really can go over. And it's really, again, it's the Dave Ramsey plan. I stole from there. It's nothing new. It's right there. But let's go over this right here. So it's some financial steps to what we can do. They're a little bit small there, but this is also available on our website. I'll tell you this. You can go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and there's a place called Links, and it's a financial plan. It's a Google Doc where you can download that. I would tell you to download it. Don't just start messing in the Google Doc because it'll actually show up on that link. Download it first, put it into your own spreadsheet, and then mess with it as well. But this is the plan. The first thing is this, is to get an emergency fund. Get an emergency fund of $1,000. Because the truth is, things are going to break. You probably all experienced this, right? Things are going to break, so you need an emergency plan of $1,000. Things are going to break. Your garbage disposal is going to stop working. Your washing machine is going to go down, and the pump's no longer going to be working, right? Your car door locks, they're just going to stop all of a sudden. This sounds a little bit specific, but those all just happened to me last week. So all those things happen, right? Luckily, YouTube is incredible, and I was able to fix almost all of them. So at least in some way, or at least Hillbilly fixed them a little bit as well. So we're able to do that. But things are going to happen, right? Things are going to happen. If it can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Your kid's probably going to get a marble stuck in his nose. That's going to happen to us this week. I can almost guarantee it. But things are going to happen. So step one is have a plan and have $1,000 in an emergency fund. You're thinking, like, how am I going to get $1,000? How do we get $1,000? Listen, I don't really know, and I don't want to know. I'm just joking. You do whatever you want to know. Listen, how you get $1,000, you might just have to sell some stuff, right? Like, sell everything. Get on a Facebook selling wall, get on eBay, get on Craigslist, sell everything. Like, sell everything. Sell the cat, sell the cats. Don't sell the dog. Sorry, cat people, but I'm allergic to them. But sell everything. Get a second job if you have to, but get $1,000 and save $1,000. Number two is your debt snowball. Number two is your debt snowball, and this is critical. This is so crucial to being and making a plan for your financial life. And again, debt is not a tool to make money, but it's a trap to lose money. So you have to get out of debt. So set up a debt snowball. And a debt snowball is probably one of the fastest ways to get out of debt. It's one of the most important things you can do. So here's kind of an example of a debt snowball. And again, these are all made up numbers and these are all made up things. But what we have here is, say these are the things that you owe money to, right? And that first column there, you're going to write who you owe your money to. So whether it's a store, whether it's your car payment, whether it's a person, whether it's a bank, whatever it is, write your debts down. Write all your debts down beside your mortgage. Put them down there and then put your total payoff. And then put your minimum payment. If you look here, we have, say you went to Kohl's and you still have some Christmas left over on Kohl's. Maybe that's an example of where you're at. So you put Kohl's down, you owe them $500 with a minimum payment of $50. Then Home Depot, maybe you got a lawnmower or something. You're still paying that off. So you got $2,600 there. Minimum payment's $100. Then you got your MasterCard of $10,000, $150. So you put that on there. Then your car payment's next at $15,000 with a $300 payment. Put those down in order and put them down in order of total payoff, the amount that you owe. Put that minimum to highest. Don't worry about interest rates. Don't worry about payments. Put it in the amount that you need to pay off from the minimum to the highest. Because what you really want is you want to gain some traction. You want to gain some momentum. And then what you're going to do is you're going to find $200 extra a month. Listen, I'm telling you to do some crazy things. But you're going to find $200 extra a month. Whether that's you're picking up a job selling, like delivering pizzas, whether you're doing something, you're going to find $200 extra a month, and you're going to put that on top of the minimum payment for the first thing. So if you look at Kohl's, you find $200, you put that on top of that minimum payment. So you're paying $250 to Kohl's. In 2 months, that thing's going to be knocked out. So you could say, peace out, Coles. No longer, you're gone. Get to the curb. Then you take that $250 and you add it onto the next minimum payment of Home Depot. So you put that into $350. And then sooner or later, next thing you know, Home Depot's knocked out, right? And then you take that $350, put it on top of the $150 that you were paying towards your MasterCard and continue it. And continue that momentum going. And then sooner or later, your MasterCard's gone. Then you do the same thing for your car payment. And the next thing you know, you're out of debt. You have to start this debt snowball. It makes so much sense. You have to plan this way to get out of debt, to experience the freedom that God really wants for us. This is an incredible step to planning and embracing planning regarding your finances. And then the number three thing is a reserve savings. Number three is a reserve savings of 6 months. Now again, this is not a spending account. This is an account that's set aside for a bad day. Like not like a bad day where your washer or dryer breaks down, but like a bad day where you come home and you no longer have a job, right? Or a bad day where you come home and you're so sick of everything at work that you have the freedom where you know you can go find a job that you're passionate for. This is what that is. It's a 6 month reserve account for that. And then I kind of lumped four and five together in the Dave Ramsey plan, but it's an investment. It's an investment for retirement and for kids funds. And then number five, you pay off your mortgage. And then number six, you're able to live and give like no one else. We need to embrace the value of planning. And again, all that is a resource that's available to you. You can go to our website and you can download that as well. You can download, put your own numbers in. But really, I want to challenge you to embrace the value of planning because it will help you act your wage. If the band would come up, my challenge is for you to act your wage. Now, again, this may mean that you have to get a little bit crazy. This may mean that you have to get a little bit weird. This may mean that you say no to some of your friends, right? This may mean that you have to get a little bit focused. This may mean that you embrace self-control, that you embrace sacrifice, that you embrace planning in your life. This means that you cannot live like everyone else. And the more passion you have towards this, the more passionate you get, the faster you're able to get out of debt. The faster you're able to make these good decisions and put this into place. And you might be listening right now, you're thinking like, dude, there's no way I can do this. But the truth is, you can. This is where Sarah and I started when within 3 years, we had all our debt paid off beside your house. And it's the exact same plan. We embrace the value of sacrifice. We embrace the value of self-control, and we plan it out. And what's incredible about this is if you do this, it will bring you closer to God. What's crazy about managing money is one of the most spiritual things that we can do because it's an outward, visible sign of really what's going on in our heart. And if you're faithful with God in a little, He's going to trust you with so much more. Sacrifice, self-control, and planning, they can change our financial lives, but they can also change our spiritual lives as well. And if you think about it, imagine what you could do for the glory of God if you lived this way, if you lived debt-free, where you could give and you could show people a tangible love and share with others that tangible love. Imagine if for a while you lived like no one else so that eventually you could live and give like no one else, all for the glory of God. If you would, pull out your response card. I want you to take this moment just to respond. If you don't have a response card, an usher can get that to you here shortly. Just raise your hand. But as I close today, I always want to give you an opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here today, and that first step in making wise decisions, that first step in living out and planning your finances with a godly mindset, is to really commit to God. If you're here today and you never made that commitment, or maybe you did, but you walked away and you want to make that commitment to follow Jesus today, this is what I want you to do. On that response card, on that first box, there's a place that says, I would like to make a commitment to Jesus. Just please check mark that box. And then believe that Jesus wants to forgive you. Believe that Jesus died on a cross for you so that you can live out your plan and then to receive that and receive His Holy Spirit into your life. If that's you, check mark that box. Maybe you're here today too. And maybe God's just speaking to you. Maybe He's asking you to sacrifice more. Maybe He's asking you to practice more self-control. Maybe He's asking you to implement planning in your life. If that's you, write that down as well. And then there's a place for prayer requests where we'd love to partner with you and prayer. If you would take a moment just to respond here and get any tithes or offerings.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.